Hello, I'm Joshua Cade, and this is Longview 150 Stories, a partnership project between the City of Longview and the Longview Public Library, showcasing 150 distinct stories designed to reveal Longview's history during the sesquicentennial celebration. Sprinkled among the daily podcasts are personal stories, large-scale histories, and interesting tidbits about the life and fabric of this dynamic community. Today, we have another snippet from Dr. Robert Cargill, where he discusses some of his past as well as his college days.
For people like us, as Paula said, you could, from Covington Drive, you could walk anywhere. And
you could. I mean, but I was not allowed to ride a bicycle on Green Street. I never did understand that.
I had a girlfriend when I was in junior high school who lived on 3rd Street, over north of the hospital, and we lived in Covington Drive, and on Saturday afternoons I would walk from Covington Drive to 3rd Street, collect her, walk back to town, go to the movie, then go to the Longview drugstore and have a malt, walk her home, and then walk back home. That's a lot of walking.
That's
in those days.
Walking.
Well, I was in junior high then. I didn't know any better. The other thing that I can remember about, and I think you have to put it in the context, that I don't know what the black kids could do. They got crapped on every conceivable way. And they were concentrated over on Nelson Street and High Street, Center Street, all that. But it was nothing to for white kids to walk around town at night. I wouldn't do that now. I don't know what it's like. I live in Dallas now, and I don't go out at night.
You don't go places. I mean, as I mentioned, you know, Dad used to leave the keys in the car in the garage, and I had windows open in my bedroom, which was on the ground floor, and we never thought anything about it. And you wouldn't dare keys in the car where somebody could get into the car now. It's just a different time. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with black or white.
No.
Is true.
As it turns out, our house was burglarized twice. Right near, plus or minus, the end of World War II. And I can't remember when, but it was right about that time. We got burglarized twice. And I guess we spent, Paula and I both had our own rooms next door with our great aunt and uncle. And so, if Mother and Dad wanted to go somewhere, we just went next door. And
they were really like grandparents to us.
Yeah.
Same age, and whatever.
And they were very supportive. And I had the world's most ideal childhood. I lived a charmed life. We were well off. Uncle Martin was a hero in town. He'd been very in his politics. I used to join the conferences that he would have in his screen porch. And I remember Noble Crawford came to see him to get advice about his first run for sheriff. And a guy named Bill Dawson or somebody Dawson was another candidate for sheriff. I mean, I sat in on their conferences with Uncle Martin when they came for political advice, and I mean, he was very good about that and had a lot of patience with him. But you know, how many kids can do that? And
not many. I used to take Uncle Martin every afternoon. He had had strokes by this time, and he had an accident with a horse, which had knocked him down and whatever. But I used to take him out to Price's store, which is no longer Price's store. I don't know what it is now, but it's right where
it's
you turn.
It's a vacant brick house,
it's
I think.
Vacant now. But it's where you turn to go to the Cherokee Club. I used to take him every afternoon for an ice cream cone out there because they had the best ice cream of anywhere. I couldn't tell you what kind it was or anything, but he always got his cone of ice cream.
Well, I hope we're conveying it. Very few kids had the advantages that we had.
Really?
And, you know, it's another, think of the times. It's, say it's January, February, something like that, of my senior year in high school, and I was home one day with, Dad says, son, you going to college? And I said, well, I guess. What do you do after you get out of high school? And he said, where do you want to go? I said, I don't know. I'm having a hard time thinking. And like most kids here in high school, I said, well, football's important. I want to go to the Southwest Conference school. How rational is that? Certainly for a guy who became a college professor. And so I said, here's the problem. There are seven schools in the Southwest Conference. I said, Arkansas is in a foreign country. I'm not about to go there. I will have nothing to do with a church school, so that leaves out SMU, TCU, and Baylor. I will not be caught dead in a military school. That leaves out A&M, because in those days you were in the Corps. And that left the University of Texas and Rice. I said, UT is...
And Texas Tech.
Texas Tech wasn't
They weren't in the Southwest Conference at that time.
Texas Tech was sort of irrelevant in those days. And I said, I don't want to go to Texas. And I said, then I couldn't get in Rice. And he said, well, nobody ever got in who didn't apply. So the deadline is passed. So somehow I called or wrote or something and got an application from Rice. And I filled it out. And I got it all done. And it's Saturday. In those days, if you wanted something to go, you got airmail special delivery. An airmail special delivery from Longview to Houston, 18 cents. So I take my envelope, go to the post office. There's nobody at the post office, right? But they have a stamp machine. Stamp machine has nothing in it but 1 cent stamps. So I put 18 1 cent stamps, which meant the only thing you could see was Rice Institute, Houston, Texas. That's all.
And it got there.
Well, I got accepted, so that tells you something.